Testing, testing. Good evening, folks. Ooh, that might be scratchy as heck. Can anybody do a mic check on me? I don't have my condenser mic out here yet. But I gotta tell you, my main studio is coming up quite a bit. Impressed, if I do say so. It's only taken a couple of years to figure it out. Gone in the trailer park. I got an Airstream, 2017 Airstream that I own. You know, one of the things you don't consider when you buy an Airstream, because they're so awesome, they retain their value. Some of the things you don't consider. One, after 76 years, they have yet to square out the angles of the inside storage, so you always have a wall that's angled on the inside. Makes it hard to store most things, really, up top. The other thing is it's a heat sink and a cold gain. And I don't know if you understand. Hey, Friday, what's up, yo? Friday! As you can see, we have Friday here. It just wasn't a show without Friday. So, just catching you up, getting a little set up. I'm going to be recording this on a video. And as soon as I'm done reading Metaplatsky, a dystopian adventure. No, it's a dystopian love story, actually. Based on a couple of friends of mine and, Patterns. Yo. So, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to record the reading on this video, and I've got it angled at my giant 30 by 40 inch canvas that I made with super tooth on it. You might have seen the DIY animator, the episode where I did the prep. And I did the evaluation on the primer. So, we're going to be reading that. Let's see, events that we've had. Had a good episode. We did a little side series on, Are You Ready to Wake Up? Basically been the theme of a lot of the philosophical parts of the DIY animator. If you're having a hard time hearing, what with the water heater, because of all the times of day, this is when my partner decided to jump into the shower right when I was about to record. But she's a wonderful and amazing person. But with the sound of the water heater, okay, looks like we got the angle right, we got the lights right. Let me get that lamp just a little bit off. Or else it might be too bright. There we go. Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with this. Sometimes I think I've got far too much going on. They're all good ideas, and I don't want to sit on any of them. I want to do them all. So what have you been up to, Friday? It's been like a week and a half. I think you turned around and slapped me with about the same amount of time I disappeared for, huh? Oh, wow. I've got 97 likes. I didn't notice that. So Thursday morning, I went to this thing called La Tap that I'd been invited to. Never heard of La Tap Friday. We always hook up on Saturday. Oh, my God. Oh, it's not. It's the 16th. We need Saturday the 14th. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Hilarious. So I go into this little tap, and I had gotten to sleep at 4 and got up at 6:30, I think. Had to be there at 7. And I go in, and I half awake, didn't know what I was getting into. So apparently La Tap is a networking, face-to-face networking club, Chamber of Commerce, for example. They have an electrician, they have a plumber, they have an insurance salesperson, they have a house cleaner, they have web designer, they have household goods and hardware. They've got an art instructor there now. And if you are there, if you're a plumber, no other plumbers can come on board, right? So if anybody in the network has a friend or a family member or anyone whatsoever that needs a plumber, you hand them the LaTap plumber card, right? So they're betting each other. They have breakfast every morning. And they went around and they're giving their advice, their work advice to everybody for the week. It's supposed to be 30 seconds. And, of course, I didn't know what I was going to do, so I winged it. And that little speech turned into maybe 5 minutes. Happened to be the epitome of all speeches I have ever given up to this point. I just delivered it true, authentic, from my heart. You've heard a lot of it before. I just strung it all together, talking about art and what art is. Art is a question. And what does art do but reflect life? And life is a question. The only sure thing we have is death. It's the only thing we agree on. So right in the morning, you know, as they're eating their breakfast, trying to wake up, I jump in there and go, let's talk about your death. And they're all pretty much mostly older than me. There was two younger guys. But they were riveted. They were absolutely riveted. And had nice pregnant preacher man pauses as I was standing and looked. I was trying to figure out what I was going to say next. But I was looking at everyone in the eye like I wasn't trying not to blank out on them. And when I was done, I knew I had just delivered the best speech I'd ever given. They all came up, shook my hand, gave me their business cards, and wanted to get to know me. Oh, hey, here's good news. I won Artist of the Month for San Leandro. Yep. Yours truly, the DIY animator, the man without any formal training, goes off in 10 directions, managed to get an award somehow. I think I stepped in it. No, they're great people. They gave me a $10 check and a little blue ribbon. And I had joined the association. Why not? And then they were all, so what you do is you bring your artwork and you lay it out on the table and everybody looks at it and they vote. I was too absorbed in my art and what I was doing to like even notice, because I can't go anywhere without my art. They were looking at it and they should go, he reminds me of a young Degas. It's like Degas, isn't he? And I was like, Degas. It sounds like something I would, hold on, man, Degas. I have no idea who Degas was. I guess he paints ballerinas. Speech. I don't know, man. Anything's likely to come out of my mouth. Yeah, I had the distinct honor of being called many things growing up. Chief among them was Motor Mouth. Some of my mom's friends would, while I was talking to them and, you know, asking them questions, they would put their fist, like they were had keys in their hand next to my temple, and they would turn it and go, it's not turning off. Or I'd be talking, you know, a million miles an hour, and look, and another one of their friends would be going, pushing on a remote control, and like, what are you doing? And like, the mute isn't working. No. It's funny because it's sad. So, Friday, you got anything to cue us in on? How come you're the only one who gets it? Everybody else is in and out. I mean, ultimately, the right people are the ones who show up and stay. But let's see. The speech I gave on Thursday, right after the speech, I came and I did a broadcast. It was pretty preachy. Well, not preachy. I think it was straight truth. It's the only live cast that I've actually sat down and listened to, because I wanted Sabrina's opinion, so we just listened to it. And I think I've become a devout follower of myself. It's all that LSD in college. Haven't caught up yet. That's a joke. Is it a joke? Trippy. Yeah, update us, Friday. What'd you do? You gonna call in? Come on, call in, Friday. Get us nice and relaxed, and then I'll launch into this story. Metaplatsky, dystopian love story. No? Yes? Some people just like to listen. Can't call in. Okay. Nice. You put the little face there to make me feel all better. Aww. It doesn't make me feel better. No, I'm just playing. I didn't expect anybody to get on. I'm going to be recording this. Let's see. Right now we're listening to Air. Well, I want to hear one badass song before, just to kind of get in the mood. Not necessarily Odessa. I think I want to hear a little bit of Beck. How's that sound? What's that newest one he had? Can you remember what it is, Friday? You're youngin', you're young blood. Lay it on us. Dreams, maybe that was it. It was Dreams. I guess I'm going to listen to Dreams. I thought I owned that one. I do own that one. Then I'm gonna blare it a little bit while I'm checking everything out, making sure it's all set. Very well. Very well. Very well. Very well. Very well, my faithful friend. Oh, here's one thing I wanted to do a little skit on is the baby goth cloth dying show. We're going to kill the material we die today. You know? And then I pictured at the end of the show, or, you know, the little baby podcast, baby goth podcast. He's like, I think the show went really well. I don't know. Do you think I was too aggressive? It'd be great. I'm going to be doing stand up, by the way, on Monday night in Hayward. It's an open mic. Myself and another Marine that I ran into. He's a 28-year-old individual. And, we kind of hit it off. We'll see how it goes. He came over here and we had a nice convo. Chilled till about 2 in the morning. He might just be the one to jump up and do the netting with me. See if we can put together a Christmas show. We'll find out tomorrow. Now, the Christmas show is going to be, you know, 50s cliche army, you know, like here I come in my army coat and everything. And the private who's been in there, of course, the Marine, his name is Farinelli. He'd be talking about, oh, he's all nervous about going to war, seeing combat. And I come in, stomp my feet, and he goes, where'd you just come in from, Sarge? And I go, I just came in from the front. He goes, really? You came in from the front? Yep. Oh, it was horrible. Oh, well, what's it like out there? Of course, he doesn't know. Sergeant's talking about the front of the building, the veterans building. Oh, it's terrible. There's parts everywhere. You have to pick up, you know, socks that dirty feet have been in. Not knowing he's referring to the homeless, he's left crap everywhere. It's just, it's a mess. It'll never leave you, the stench. You know, just say all the ridiculous things and watch the private go nuts. So that's just for you, Friday. Maybe we'll film it. Of course we'll film it. Why wouldn't we? Hoping the other two, well, I recruited one lady from the restaurant, the diner. She's always wanted to be an animator. I think she'd be perfect if you're going to get dressed up. She has a twin sister, and they're both, I think, 26, 27. They would be great as announcers and play the straight men or straight woman, however you put it. But have a show, a live show that's a lot with skits, a lot like Carol Burnett or the Hee Haw Show. Just cliche, goofy, tongue-in-cheek, and fun. Anyway, I'm set up. But I want to hear the song. Play song, play.
Here we go.
Is that too loud? Is it scratchy? You sound like crap. Is that a thumbs up, thumbs down?
Speakers out here.
All right, folks. As soon as we finish this song, we're going to launch into the story. So get your hot chocolate, your Irish coffee, and cuddle up next to your favorite teddy bear, be it stuffed, male, female, or doesn't associate with the necessary gender. It's going to be a nice, short, but relaxing story. You got 3 minutes, 42 seconds. Count down. Friday, I gotta tell you, I got this, I got a second set of 36 Mungyo oil pastels, the semi-jumbo, but I have not been able to find, this is semi-jumbo, I don't know what the full jumbo is, and I also got two sticks, top of the line, straight up, Sonnier. Who was the original company commissioned by Pablo Picasso himself, who'd gotten sick of painting with brushes. He wanted a different way of applying oil paint, and he commissioned the creation of oil pastels. So, and if you don't know a lot about Pablo Picasso, he was alive in the first half of the 20th century, so oil pastels have not been around that long. Essentially, what Sonnier made for him was super buttery crayons, giant crayons. It kind of looked like lipstick, you know, and I'd never gotten some yet because it's just so damn expensive. I mean, if I were to get like 75 of the Sonnier, it'd come in a wood box and it'd be about 500 and some odd bucks. Maybe it'd be, I don't think it'd be 200, but if I remember correctly, and I can get these Mungyos for, you know, $28 for 72, and they're Gigantor. But, I mean, they don't turn into this hot butter on the canvas like everything else does. And I don't know if you have never worked with oil pastels, it is more physical labor than you would ever imagine it. And the reason why it took me since 2015, September, October 2015, when I did my first oil pastel, and I didn't use any color shapers at all on it. It took me from then until this last May to figure out how to do it. And it really was all about color shapers. And I have to hand it to my partner, Sabrina. She's the one who went and got the paddles and handed them to me. And so when you put on the oil pastel and it looks like crayon, you're like, oh, okay, I can see this. This is okay, but I don't understand why everyone's all gaga about it. Not having any formal training, I did not know. There's all these color shapers, these little silicone things. So yeah, I mean, I get to play with silicone. You rub on the
the oil pastel and blend it in together. You can get all, well, infinite number of color variations. Point being is very physically intensive. I mean, like on a tiny, like 9x11, after a couple of hours, I'd be just dripping sweat from concentration and rubbing with my hands and arms to get the right blend. And it just, I've often remarked that what it feels and seems like, I just put the paint where it seems like it should go, and then I'm rubbing on it, and it was already there hiding, and I just got to rub on it and like focus on it and manifest it out. It's a trip. It's a trip. I get how Michelangelo said that he was freeing what he saw from the stone. I've never got that before. I mean, I was like, yeah, that sounds like some weird, wonky artist talk. But I know I'm doing it. It just doesn't, it almost seems too easy. And if I were me 2 years ago, hearing myself say that, if I was me listening to me, I absolutely would have just slapped the living shit out of myself. What? What an asshole thing to say. But I don't know how else to describe it. So there's Beck. I'm going to turn on the video now. And after this recording, then I'm going to go hyperlapse. Diana Krall. She's great. I don't know if you like jazz, but I like all kinds of music except gangster rap, hardcore death metal, new country. I like old country. There we go. Hit play on the video. All right. Now, Friday, if you can do me a favor, do you want to be my admin? Friday? Would you do me the honor of becoming the first admin for this thing that we do? I mean, I would ask ID 13560182, but, that's just a mouthful. It's hard to get around it. Lisa Keeble, she's gone, Mester. You've been waiting for this moment since the first show. Well, the honor is all mine. I'm not one to hand out administrative anything to anybody or titles or positions. Often I'm very careful with who I do it with. This is my philosophy. Hopefully maybe you can use some of it as you go throughout life. There's no such thing as going and building community or growing community. What there is somebody who has passion and an idea. Let's say you and I had an idea and we were passionate about it. Well, let's get to it. But the idea should never grow beyond what we ultimately, if we had to, and will plan to, accomplish ourselves within our own money, our own means, and our own power, right? Now, that doesn't mean we won't accept volunteers. Of course, we'll accept volunteers. So anybody could drop in. Let's see, how do I set the admin? I'm trying to set this up, so bear with me, Friday. I kind of like to do this honor. While we're going along. I might have to do it afterwards, huh, Friday? It just feels comfortable saying that. Friday. All right. Well, all right. We'll figure that out later. So on the organic growth, you have volunteers come by. And this is my experience. You'll have 10 people show up. First 2 hours, everyone will get a little drunk, a little high. They'll eat all the food and, you'll go, okay, everybody. And you'll look and there'll be maybe one, two, if you're lucky, people still there. And that's pretty much how it goes. So this is what happens is at the end of the project, the person who's always consistently showing up and excited and passionate and is just making themselves a part of the idea, that's the person you ask to join your group. And you can grow a bigger idea after that. right? So that is the whole idea behind organic growth. Never try to dream big. Go out there and get 80 volunteers and fundraise. If it's your dream, if it's your idea, begging for money and resources, come on back, is a, oh, hell. We got Street Fool here tonight. What's going on, Street Fool?
All right, man.
Oh, hey, we just, Friday just agreed to be the admin for the group. Hey, what a, it's your lucky night, Friday. He's been with us since the first show.
So,
yeah. So, okay, here, let's do a test here. Can everybody hear him? So what we're doing is we're getting ready to do a little reading. How's your day going today? Where's the dog?
He's eating right now.
Oh, he's eating?
Yeah.
Okay. So I haven't given too much of the information out there about this exciting series we're working on, Chronicling Your Adventures. Oh, Janice Richards has asked to join. Who's it, Janice? Let's try it out. Okay, just before I take you in, let me we use Socratic Method Forum. We ask questions. We wait for answers respectfully. Are you there? No further questions. Janice, can you hear me? Hold on. I'm getting some feedback, so give me just a minute to see if I can recalculate. Testing. How about now? Can you hear? No? Oh, I think she's off. Yobi, you silver tongue devil. Is there anything anybody out there wants to ask about Street Fool? Why don't you give us a little rundown about what you did today? What was going on the street today?
Well, I went out and I just visited the neighborhoods, see what was going on.
Yeah, and, yeah. What's the name of that motorcycle you're on?
A Harley.
It's a Harley, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know a lot about motorcycles.
My dog ride Sidekick.
Oh, you got a set? That's right. I've seen that. Yeah. Do you name your motorcycle?
No.
No?
No.
No, it's just a Harley.
Yeah.
It gets you around.
Yeah. So I just out and about making sure the neighborhoods are cool, you know, just making sure everybody's all right out there, you know. Had a couple run-ins with some those clowns out there.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you about. So who was out there tonight? Are you talking about Gold, what's his name?
Gold Tooth. Yeah, and Siren Head.
Oh, man, he's nothing but trouble.
Yeah, both of them.
What'd they do? Where were they going?
Gold Tooth's always up to something no good. He's always jacking somebody up.
Dang.
You know?
Yeah.
But my dog sniffs them right out.
Yeah? So what happened? Can you lay it out for us?
I don't want to get too graphic on this.
You're not super shooting.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know what? It was Detective Doubt there. That's all I need to know. If he was there, then
you know what?
That's all I need to know.
I seen him. He was lurking in the background.
Oh, shit.
You know, Detective Doubt's, you know, I'm hoping he's going to show up here tonight.
You know, I saw him. There was a robbery down at the store, and he was just standing in the bushes looking the other way. I couldn't figure. I said, Detective Doubt. And he said, no, I doubt that's me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he said. I was so confused just by his answer. I could figure it out. So you do this all the time. I mean, what is it that inspired you to like get out there and like protect the neighborhood?
Because these clowns out there, mm-hmm. Gold Tooth.
And he's not kidding. They're like literal clowns out there.
Yeah. They be putting pressure on people and businesses. So I just figured I would cruise around and, you know, back them up.
How much shit do you put up with?
A lot of shit.
You put up a lot of shit?
Yeah.
But they don't mess with you.
No.
Hell
no.
Well, I mean, not so much that you look frightening necessarily, but you never know what's going to happen. I haven't seen you fully mad. I surely wouldn't mess with you.
Yeah. And, you know, Detective Doubt, he's, you know, around, but it's always good because you never know what he's thinking. He's doubtful about if I'm a good guy or a bad guy. So.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't want to bring this up, but I gotta say, you kind of stood me up, Street Fool.
Yeah. Probably totally an emergency.
And Detective Doubt was here, and he was like, I knew it. He said he doubted you were coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, what's that? We got a cat meow?
Yeah, I'm glad Savage ain't over here.
Wait. Savage?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Companion.
What's going on?
He's eating well with the cat. He might get sidetracked.
I haven't seen him ever. Oh, that's right. You always leave him back at home, garden.
Yeah, he's eating right now.
I didn't even think about that. You never told me he eats cats. That cat follows me everywhere.
He don't eat them. He just likes to chase them.
So what we're doing, folks, if you got, how much time you got?
I've only got a few more minutes. I just got a call here.
Well, you hear it right here, folks. If you got any questions and you want to ask Street Fool any questions, now's your chance. Never know when he's going to be too busy walking around and driving around the neighborhood, making sure everything is all right. You might want to get your questions in now. How about you, Friday? You got anything for him? He said champagne. David Shaky. Hey, David, how you doing tonight? So he's going to be here just a few more minutes. Did you want to stay for the reading? Street Fool, Metaplatsky. It's a dystopian love story. It's only the prologue, maybe seven pages.
Yeah, Street Fool better be going here.
All right.
Got a lot of things to take
care of. All right. Well, thanks for coming by, Street Fool. Yeah. You know you're welcome here anytime.
Yeah. They'll start seeing the shows pretty soon.
Yep. We got a pretty intensive production schedule. It is going to come around. And so we discussed before, and this is kind of a surprise drop, but it's going to be just him, you know, on one of his rounds around the neighborhood. It's going to be, we're going to see what he's doing the first episode and just kind of get you used to what he's seeing and how he's being out here. Oh, we sure appreciate you coming by, Street Fool. We appreciate you patrolling those streets. So come by anytime.
Hey, that's what I'm all about.
All right, awesome.
Full of the streets.
All right, guys, I'm going to have to walk into the front door. I'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Oh, well, last question. Friday, he said, are there any side hustles there, Street Fool?
Yeah, there is. That's being done by them. See, I don't hustle. I just make sure the hustle doesn't hustle.
Well, you heard it first right here. There you go, Friday. All right, let me see Street Fool out, and I'll come back, folks. All right. Oh, hell, guys. We had Street Fool. Oh, now I have nobody here. All right. I am back from escorting Street Fool out. Wow. So excited to be able able to chronicle how a street fool looks out for everyone. You know, some of the kids around here think of him as like a street Batman, even. You know, and I don't delude myself. I mean, he is a street fool. He's been raised on the streets, and he's got street smarts. But, yeah, I'm worried about that gold tooth. That gold tooth, he's been spooking around, him and his gang, especially Siren Head. He just makes me nervous. He's always moving his head around like a swivel. It almost sometimes looks like his head has spun right around. Those clowns. Whew! Clowns and street rats. Well, Friday, that's pretty amazing. So you got to become an admin of the show, which you know what that means, right? Since it's you and I right now, I think I need you to know my email address. A Yobi tattoo. Yeah, do you know what a Yobi is? Think yo-yo frisbee, right? Toy Walmart used to sell way back when, many years ago, decade now actually. And it was a frisbee on the end of a string, like a yo-yo. And there's videos on, if you look up Y-O-B-E on YouTube, kids injuring the hell out of themselves. It looked awkward and painful. Oh, you know that one? Dude, I actually wrote the company and told them, don't stop production. You're just targeting the wrong market. They said, what do you mean? And I sent them a video because I'm not joking. I bought these toys to keep me busy when I was out that thing in the desert. And when I picked up the Yobi, it was like it was another part of my body. I just was immediately was doing crazy, neat things with it. As a matter of fact, I have a metal flaming Yobi that I have not performed out in public yet, but I will. Well, thank you. Thank you. I don't mind having a fan. Hey, Junior Greco. Welcome to, what is this? You know, I keep, we talk about the cave 2.0. We just had Street Fool come by, talk about philosophy and truth. And I'm not sure what this show is. We got the DIY animator. Certainly it's got segments. It's practically a whole radio show. Oh no. Yobi Works FM. Well, this is the deal though. So I've learned a thing or two in life. And this is what I want to ask you. It started out as just what I'm about to do, a brain challenge, brain teaser. I would ask people around the fire, I would say, anybody want to play a brain game? Can anybody tell me anything that's wrong with the idea of, instead of traditional marriage, we have a marriage LLC or an LLP, right? And this was the setup. In the Articles of Incorporation, you have to review what you do if you disintegrate, what you do with assets, what you do in case of bankruptcy, who's going to handle the finances, how will there be the interactions? Because let's face it, marriage is a business. Now, I've already trademarked this idea, by the way, y'all. Somebody did it once up in Rhode Island, I think in 1998. But aside from that, nobody's done this. Think about it. One of the things I loved about Burners most is they take what you don't think could be retooled and they flip the script. They flip it on its head. It's essentially the same thing, but coming from a different direction. So that's what I did with this one. Heck with the church marriage. It's governed by archaic laws that will just tear you apart and make you feel horrible. Most of the laws and problem, regulations and all that don't make any sense in different state to state. But corporate law is the same. If you instead incorporate your marriage, right, you just incorporate, then both you and your partner have some liability shielding, right, from bankruptcy and everything. Yeah, exactly. The articles of incorporation is the prenup. And it also forces people to address things that I know they're in love and all they can see is her breasts. And she can only see his strong shoulders. So of course they'll be together forever. This forces you to stop and think about what if we're not, but also it's not subject to an inheritance tax. Instead of it just being a traditional marriage where only the wife gets a vote separate from the wife or the other partner, each partner is separate and individual. The union, the marriage, doesn't get any representation, but as a corporation, as an LLC or an LLP, guess what? You, the corporation, is a person, and money is free speech. So now you've taken a couple that only has two votes and made the children inheritors of a business, but you also get special tax breaks, taxed at a lower rate. You get tax credits. You can do pass-through tax payments through your corporation. And guess what? You can have your own super PAC with all of the advantages that the wealthy have been taking advantage of that creation ever since. So your couplehood, by being together, has a third vote. You want to change things? Never going to tear down the system. And people's hearts, you can't go directly. You got to outflank them. So me and my girl, we're going to get together. We're going to call it. We're going to take a different name. We're going to call it Yumworks.
Quiet, Kiko.
Yumworks. So maybe that's what's coming together here. Yumworks FM. Radio, the arts and multimedia. Hey, look, I already got, well, what are you good at, Friday? How far do you want to go into this? Because, you know, I will go as far as it will go. I'm actually scouting out some buildings. But I have to have something more solid because I don't jump off without a plan. Never play a game. You can't win. And that the odds aren't in your favor. Or you end up getting burned. Anything we form, it's our partnership. Anybody comes on, it's more of a co-op collaborative, right? So I've changed my last name to Yum, and Sabrina changed her last name to Yum. Mr. and Mrs. Yum. I like that. Y-U-M-M. And Yumworks. Ah, just feels right. I'm not sure of all the steps that's going to happen, but I think I can see the next 3 to 5 steps. I see mobility. I see traveling around like once a quarter, maybe doing a show, being a participant. Nobody is the boss, the man, the gal, whatever. Everybody is learning. There's co-ownership, so to speak, collaborative participant ownership. Mentors and mentees, apprentices and apprenticeships. There is a fixed duration of running things. I like something similar to the model of what they have out in Utah for their BOD, their board of directors. It's 3 years. You're basically a go for the first year learning. Second year, you take a little more responsibility. The third year, you're running the show. Fourth year, you're off the board of directors, and you can never get on the board of directors or do anything that is considered a conflict of interest. Like, you couldn't lobby the board of directors. It's a nonprofit anyway out there in Utah, the burners out there. I liked that organization. I liked that idea because, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I'm not going to say I couldn't be corrupted. That somebody couldn't slap down enough money that wouldn't make me hard to spot myself. And I, why tempt myself like that? I think I've seen enough organizations that after too many years, they start associating the entity that they've created, the nonprofit, with them. And they're not willing to consider directions just simply because they identify with it so much that they wouldn't go that direction. So this shouldn't go that direction. It's not up to them. If you do it right, it's supposed to outlive you, right? Is somebody calling me? Hello? Oh, that's my kids. Yeah, they're in there hooping and hollering. We're going to go see a movie tonight. We're going to go see Maleficent? Okay. So let me get to this story. I put it off long enough. My God. Terrible. 45 minutes in to get to the story. Video. Oh, my gosh. The video is on. All right. Let's do it. I can edit that. Here we go. Metaplatsky, a dystopian love story by A. Yobi Blumberg. I hope this is working. Last double check. I think my mic just went off. Ah, thank God this is a live cast, right? tightens your game up. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Unless it kills you, and you can't get strong if you're dead. Is the mic working? Can you give me a thumbs up, thumbs down, Friday, please? Sir? All right, Leonidas. Leonidas. Prologue. Out on the high desert, far from most but nearer than many, the crowd, dressed in everything from formal gowns down to not dressed at all, shifts restlessly within a large circular area. Sunset had occurred about a half hour before. A small but revered flame sputtered and spits atop a metal flower, yet within finely wrought iron flower petals. A slight hiss, then a burp of gas causes a small flame effect to fly upward like quickly dying, escaping moth. On the northeast side of the area is a stage thrown together using construction platforms, rusting with some passing age, and before the scene, anxiety, doubt, and fear. They're running through the crowd, specific conversations. Cannot glean exactly from the cacophony of voices joined together. On stage, a small roll of bedraggled people stand behind a short man in what used to be brightly checkered sports coat, shorts, and wrapped in worn golf shoes. He's crowned with an unadorned and unassuming straightforward bucket hat drawn low over his speckled eyes. His face screwed into a look of unshaven consternation. Six others stood behind him about 10 feet away, giving the stage the aura of a presentation by professors in a Midwestern college or a Midwestern high school. The requisite Gen Xer of the group on stage piped in confidently, there's no deadline because time is illusion. Many rolled their eyes, others ignore him, as everyone has since the generation first concocted and corrected its moniker with a self-righteous X. Metaplatsky! Scotto, he squinted his eyes to minimize the glare from the stage lighting, the iconic bucket hat providing enough hooding to effectively mask unwanted expressions from sending the ultra burners into a meaning conference to suss out the more profound meanings he might have been trying to convey. I'm conveying annoyance, he breathed, barely. Yes, you had a question. Yeah, they're in the back, he gestured with his arm like a fly fisherman practicing with a air rod. is the deadline, emphasized a high, melodic female voice.
Is it metaphorical or go when we practice our morning course and communes at tea?
An inward groan almost hissed its way past his teeth. Almost. He might be old, he wasn't out of control. Not yet.
You know my stance on the one hug, codifying anything into a ritual. If y'all aren't careful,
now a real snort of humor did leap out, punctuating the air, then echoing throughout Temple Hall, as near nuts were calling it now.
They had called it so, actually, ever since Halcyon had declared a burning age after the large-scale group observation by that old hug nation of groupies. They were all decked out in pink for Halcyon's holy high nut. They say they saw him swoon this way and that in ecstatic convulsions all over the central dais of the parachute after his orgasm, only to sputter, gasp, and start shouting gibberish. Now the high hipster started exclaiming,
It's the playa herself was speaking through Halcyon. He's the Halcyon.
Yeah. That was the first time everyone started titling the higher-ups their playa names. Only the founders' names really remained normal. The one hug, as they were calling themselves, had adopted an A in front of their names, a we before playa names once were if the name found them. Still, surely they didn't believe this horseshit.
He's just talking like a Wall Street bro, came a voice.
Scott's reverie was cut short.
The meta derides the injunction of Larry and Marion to take the playa with us out into the default world. So what if he is the Platsky? Is he above the principles?
The man looked around as if to add the unspoken voices of those around him to his own.
Given by Larry to guide us in the true and even way through the Republican.
The man's voice made the words sound as if corruption itself was blowing dust up into their eyes.
Temptations that will try to tempt us from the real art path, avoiding all the liberalisms along the way, even if the meta feels like the playa provides.
He stopped then, turning dramatically to face the crowd and point a long, dark, bony finger at Scatto behind him on the stage.
I'll bet he doesn't believe it.
Those in the crowd, even on stage, started looking genuinely nervous now. The man didn't notice, but Scatto, generally given to a constant, if small, sway, at all times had become stock still.
How much did he give in the year's fundraising to manifest art on her surface? The man was all but shouting at the top of his lungs, whirling to face Scatto full on. Tell us, Platsky! He's dropped the honorific, made to spit Scotto's last name into his hand, but at the last moment, he moved his hand so that the spit hit directly onto the ground. All were frozen as if in sheer horror at what they had just seen and what had been done could be undone. If everyone only remained perfectly still, waiting just a moment, yeah, this didn't really happen. A regular meeting this was not. Nope, no run-of-the-mill accusations would ever be from Whitman. Whitman was, in all things, a genius with the use of over-dramatic flair that had somehow given him some warped legitimacy over the years, legitimate enough to make a public challenge to the order of things. Mooping, the act of leaving matter out of place, was bad enough and could get your rations cut immediately. Adjoining someone's name to their spit and mooping it like Whitman was as bad an insult as anyone could make. Now here came the coup de grace. What was your gift to the man this last year, Scotto? The playa provided? I bet non-prof B. Morg assigned his crappy, boring vanilla cap back on Zegan 330. Oh, there was a silence, stunned. There were several surprised gasps at the man's statement. Hisses slithered through the crowd. A few more were even muttering, "Fuck your burn," under their breaths. Scotto couldn't tell if the FYBs were at him or at Whitman, or being used to ward off evil or some crazy thing. There was no time to figure it out. Things were spiraling into dangerous territory too quickly. He had to stamp it out now. "What's that she at you're saying, buddy?" Scott bellowed in the loudest voice he could muster. All eyes were on him now. "Right." He raised his voice. So rarely, a baby startled in the crowd. Everyone startled a second time yet. He kept the momentum. "Everyone knows. Everyone saw it. Who didn't see? Every single one of us. Of the village." Scott growled. He almost said adults. He could ill afford to cause a schism of young ones at this point. "The Poly Elders honored our loved ones." Scott almost lost all strength at that moment. He pressed on, though. He had to, or all of his work could tip over and be lost. "And don't you ever question my motives, especially in Temple Hall. If you ever dare again, I'll ban you forever." All color visibly drained from Whitman's usually pale face. Scotto took note, pivoted to speak to those behind Whitman. "After the immigrant terror, who was the Meta who made sure Marion and Danger were still alive and safe?" He paused, waiting for a reply. If anyone did say anything, he would have been surprised, beyond surprised. He knew they loved their benevolent dictator. There were always some who chafed, but Scotto was in his element now, confident. "Who did the setup, the greeting, and even set up center camp for those who were able to get here?" Again, nothing. "Polly fucking P." And some were nodding now, happy to be in familiar territory. Scotto lowered himself casually, conversationally towards Whitman, a half smile playing across his toothless face. "You? You aren't even old enough to be a virgin yet." A young one in the back of the crowd let out a whoop of amusement. The man's eyes flew wide in shock and locked with Scott's for a moment. Only a moment. But then he hung his head. "That got him. I'm too old for this shit. Jenny, what am I going to do?" Scotto thought to himself. Standing, he stepped back behind the podium. "What I said is, a deadline? It's a deadline. You don't miss a deadline." He turned and walked directly. Not too fast, not too slow, but straight from the stage. "Fuckity fuck fuck fuck. The Platsky," he hissed through his lips. "Meta Platsky. They want a fucking Meta Platsky? I got a meta for them." He stopped suddenly, straightening his arcing back somewhat as a slow, stubbled smile spread across his face, making his ears pop slightly from under his dirty white hat. "They won't know what him." Then Scotto, Sir Jimmy Bob, Platsky, Meta Platsky of the Burnerverse, walked off into the haze, and nothing and no one would ever be the same again. End prologue. Schism sounds dirty. What do you think, guys? You like it? It's one of my about 7 or 8 projects. I swear to God. I've said a few times, I just need somebody like who can follow behind me and organize it in a way and make it happen. And I just like go from project to project. I keep going at this pace. I'm going to take off about 10 years off the end of my life. But it's fun. It's fun to create. Wow. Hey, Leonidas, who's Leonidas?
Oh, yeah. You know, I looked at your, Bobby. Is that your podcast? Bobby? Is that the name of it? I saw some of the comments, but I didn't have a chance to listen to it. I don't even watch TV anymore. I don't get time to do much. I'm seeing movies late at night. Oh, man, it's only 6:18. A couple of people are a little creeped out because I'm like, why would I change the names? So I'm in it, this book, and Sabrina's in it. Kids are grown up. So it's about 25, 30 years in the future. Yeah, your name is Bobby. Okay, cool. It's about 25, 30 years in the future. Now Scotto is like, I think of him and Jenny as family. They live down in Phoenix. And back when, not long before, maybe a year before, no, 5 months before my ex had come out of the closet, I'd asked Scotto to mentor me because he ran this event called Saguaro Man in the Southwest. And I never asked anybody to mentor me ever. But he seemed like he had a good head on his shoulders, and he was approachable. He had a neat style for teaching. He's run a camp called Poly Paradise out on Playa for 21 years now. And he ran Saguaro Man for 6 or 7 years. I started going to the second one, and I hadn't been able to go to the last two. But it was just 300 people in a wooden stage and a bunch of tents, and now it's like art cars, and it's off the hook. Gone from like 300 to 1,500, I think it was. But he stepped back, and he's a meta for the Southwest with Burning Man. I'm not sure if he's hanging on to it, but he came here to visit when they were doing the cultural reevaluation of the burner culture and community and what to do and taking metrics. And so he was brought into the bigwigs arena, so to speak, by dearth of his experience and his engagement. He is, by his own assertion, a zealot. The only time I ever witnessed him, well, two times that he got upset. One is when I said I'd learned enough from the burn and I didn't think I was going to go back. And his reaction, I went back anyway every couple more years. But I was right originally. I was done. He's a great guy. I love him and Jenny to death. Think of him as family. If they were to call me right now and say, we need you, they wouldn't even have to tell me why. I would immediately head that way from San Francisco. He's just, when my ex came out of the closet, he was the first person I told. I was under silence. I couldn't let anybody know for like 4 months. It was torture. And I was talking to him and I was like, man, I got to tell somebody. Can I tell you something? Can I talk? I need to talk to somebody right now. And I told him, and he was like, that's what happened to my last marriage. I was like, what? What are the odds? He was a big comfort, huge comfort. And honestly, until I think last year, I looked at him as the Scotto, you know. I even got a black bucket hat and all that. I went and helped him build the camp 1 year, and at the end of the burn, he goes, all right, everybody, Yobi's going to be taking over. And I went, don't listen to him. He's mad and drunk with power. I miss those guys. But they stayed here with me, and they went to this big organizational meeting, and that, I think that was the first time I saw him as Scott, you know, in what he was trying to do and where he was coming from. Instead of like this ideal of a mentor, I saw him more as a friend. We don't get to talk as much as we like. I think the other time he got angry is when I tried to Scotto a situation that he'd already made his decision on. he was emotional about it at the time. And he kind of raised his voice to me. I was like, whoa, I'm allowed to have an opinion. It doesn't mean I'm saying anything about your decision, but I'm allowed to have my opinion and express it without getting dressed down. But he's always shown respect out of all the years since, 2012 to now. He's been an amazing, amazing guy. He knows his stuff. Anyway, if anybody was more qualified
In fact, I think he's the only person alive who could step into Larry's shoes and run that entire organization and do well by it. They would do well to hand it to him, because they're down by committee right now, let me tell you. That's just my opinion. Anyway, so at Friday Kind of Guy, call me Bobby. Bobby, where do you mind us knowing what state you live in there, Leonidas? Or what region? I'm going to have to go listen to your podcast. I suspect that maybe Friday Kind of Guy had a podcast, a live cast at one time. Don't know what it was. I do have sound equipment and podcast stuff and wanted to do narration. ACX just had like a school thing. I think I got the reading down. I just need to have good equipment. Not good equipment. I need a studio, actually. It's just too loud. I'm doing this out here. While I was reading that, I was like, oh, God, I bet you everybody can hear. We could do. You live in the Yuk? The Yuk? Is it Yuk or Yuk? Is it Yuk or Yuk, Bobby? That was kind of some weird Scottish-Irish thing. Don't ever do that again, Yobi. Sorry about that. Yeah, I know. It's the United Kingdom, dude. I have a degree in history. I've been so fascinated with Celtic history ever since I was 6 years old. I've studied everything about Britain. Know the Alfred the Great for decades. Magna Carta, Carta Britannica, the Dark Ages, all that stuff. All the way back to the Latin culture and even the trek of the Proto-Indo-Europeans from the Caucasus Mountains over into Western Europe and how that culture evolved into the Celts. Yeah, I'm all about it, dude. I'm a total nerd. I mean, for me, the Celts are like, they're what I picture when I read fantasy books, when I read a lot of fantasy books. Weird, crazy, drunk, enlightened, and dumb, not dumb, but superstitious at the same time. They were the only people back in those days that didn't all, most everybody was wearing tunics. They wore pants, checkered pants. Yeah, fascinating people. They had this weird cult of the head. Of course, that could be a mistranslation across history. And it was like, I'm hoping it would be funny if it was a mistranslation of weird cult of the giving and getting head. But no, of course, they would cut the heads off and mount them in around the door frame, drink out of them to honor them. So, Leonidas, are you Welsh? Are you Cornish? Are you what region are you from? So I'm like 2/3 picked, and I know that because my Irish blood is low, but I'm English, Adrian. Shut the fuck up. English. English. Is anybody really English? More like all blended together. All right, Friday. I'm going to figure out how to make you the admin. We ought to get together and maybe discuss things a little deeper. My email is yobi@yobiworks.art. Shoot me a message. I'm in the process of changing to a new host, so it's kind of wonky right now. It's not as easy as I thought it would be. But anyway, bye. Talk to you later. So, Leonidas, I don't know what you know about Yobi Works, but I got several little shows going on. The DIY Animator. So I'm learning animation and doing it as I'm learning and sharing what I find out about open source and animation and what programs are better than others with you. Because all boats rise together. And maybe I'll get lucky enough to have a couple collaborators join me and speed up the process of these cartoons. They're only 3-minute cartoons. And let's see, I've got 900 and some odd panels in a minute and 40 seconds. Oh, you got to head out too? Oh, bye. Later, dude. Oh, and I'm Texan, I guess. If you count that white. Oh, I mean, right. So what part of England is, I guess, my point? Are you in the Northumbria or where Strathclyde was? No, I think that's the Midlands. or over in London, which was the most expensive place in the world until San Francisco beat y'all out 2 years ago. If you feel like calling in, call in. You did miss Street Fool coming on board. That was neat. Have I been recording this whole damn time? 47 minutes video, and
that was my toe. Oh my God, my toe hates me right now.
You have that happen to you, you just whack your toe and there's nothing to do but just like kind of find that still place deep inside and let your toe scream at you from a distance. That's what I get for walking around barefoot outside with a goddamn drum stool. Stupid drummer. That's what I am. Dumb drummer, not stupid. So what's your story, Leonidas? So besides that, we're doing also The Cave 2.0, which is Plato's allegory updated for a modern world. The premise of The Cave 2.0 is in every age, humans face a question. It's a crux, the crux of the age, the tipping point. And during the time of the tipping point, the crux, a cave appears. If humanity as a whole successfully negotiates that crux, that tipping point, the cave goes on. If not, some unfortunate representative is captured in the cave and becomes a prisoner in a fourth dimensional time cave, chained. So they're up to 9 prisoners now that we know of, maybe more. The latest one, Carlito Red Ramirez, Klein's Corners, New Mexico. And he's in the cave. Just got into the cave. And discovers Lucita Pasimal Mendoza. She's the daughter of an American hippie and an Argentine, businessman now. She was taken by the cave in 1993. I don't know how much of this you remember, so you're getting kind of a scoop. Because once it comes out, it's mum's the word. And these will be taken down. Oh, it's an hour and 12 minutes. Okay, guys, that's it for tonight. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you around. Okay, folks, till then, this is your DIY animator. Go get busy, turn off the TV, and wake up.